We thank you for visiting Christian Bible Temple and pray the following message speaks to your heart.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, this morning, worshiping together. And as I was singing, I was just thinking, we will be doing this for eternity together before the Lord. It's like sometimes we do this so many times. We come to church every Sunday, and sometimes I have to sit back and reflect on what life is going to be. This is not the only life that we will know, right? We will be with the Lord. It's good to be with you all this morning. As you can see, we have Brother Timo with us this morning. So great to see him. It was a nice surprise. I didn't know that he was coming, but always great to see him. And please, before you leave, say hello to our brother, our missionary that we support and love. And later on, he will share a bit of his ministry with us and what's been happening there. So we are going to read from the book of Ephesians, continuing in Ephesians chapter 2. Our portion of scripture today will be from verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. And the word of God says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your holy presence, thanking you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to listen to your word. And I thank you so much, Lord, for the salvation, the gift that you have given us through your Son. We ask, Father, that you would just help us to focus on what your word has to say to us, and be able to, Lord, that you would just open our understanding to your word, and that we may, Lord, absorb it into our lives and allow you to shine brightly from among us, Lord. I thank you so much for each brother and sister, for each family that's represented here, and we ask, Father, you be with those that may be on their way as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. So last week we left off with being a part of the body of Christ and what that means. And so I'm going to begin here in verse 1. As a member of the body of Christ, we are made alive. And what does it mean? What does it mean to be made alive? In order for something to be made alive, it must be dead first. Must be dead. So let's talk about the death state that we were when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. The word trespass. The trespass is to go beyond one's right by violating a boundary or a law. When we trespass on someone's property, we violate the physical boundaries they have in place. In a similar way, we trespass when we violate God's moral law or rights of other people. In our death state, we were under the wrath of God. We were alienated. We were enemies. We were cursed, lost, cut off, helpless, fallen under demon control. But now, by his grace, we are made alive. And what is grace? Grace is getting what we don't deserve, the free and unmerited favor of God. Right? And I'm going to repeat that a couple of times. I think sometimes we forget, or we can stumble between grace and mercy and what that distinction is.
So to be made alive is to come alive. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. They are life." All right, so God imparts divine life by regeneration at the point of our being born again, which in turn gives us a place in God's eternal plan, reconciled to the body of Christ, and therefore we must coexist as brothers and sisters. We talked about living in harmony last week, right? And that we in Scripture, in 1 John 4:20, it says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." All right? Anybody here ever donated blood or received blood? Can anybody tell you, I've given blood. I stopped giving it because I started getting sick after I was every time I would get blood. So in a blood transfusion, if you receive blood that is not compatible with your blood, what happens? Right, your body rejects it. It creates antibodies that fight off those blood cells that have been donated to you. The process causes the transfusion reaction. Blood that you receive in a transfusion must be compatible, right? That's why we have blood types, type A, type B, type C. And so we see that it must harmonize, it must be compatible. The blood must coexist in order for the body to continue to accept. And in the same way, as brothers and sisters, we must coexist in harmony. Right? And is one of the evidences of our salvation, that we love our brothers and sisters, that we coexist with one another. When you are made alive, you are now reconciled in the body of his flesh. We're going to take a look at what being reconciled means. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22 says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." All right, so what does it mean to be reconciled? It is to coexist in harmony, make or show to be compatible. So without Christ, we were dead in our sins, not coexisting with him. We were not compatible. So very important to understand what that compatibility means, right? When we work with puzzles, if the puzzle doesn't fit, it doesn't work, and you can't make the picture, and it can't coexist. The verse, it continues here in 2, talking about walking. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Right? So without Christ, we lead lives that are influenced by the things of this world, technology, philosophy, entertainment, in which corruption is curated by the prince of the power of the air. And who is this prince? Who is this prince? I'm going to read a couple of attributes of this prince. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The New International Version, I wanted to quote from that version of the Bible, because it says, "And that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Right? Very clear. Under the control of the evil one. So the world is under the control of the evil one. Luke chapter 4, verse 6 says, "And the devil said to him, all this authority," right? This is when Satan is trying to tempt Jesus in the desert, giving him power. And he says, "And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and it is, and I give it to whomever I wish." Right? So he had control of all the lands, right? He took him to the top and showed, "I'll give you all of this. And the power has been given to me to give it to whoever I desire." And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So we see a couple of the power or authority that Satan had on the earth. Why is he given the title of prince? A prince is a male royal ruler of a small state, actually nominally or originally subject to a king or emperor, right? A prince was subject, right? He was a ruler, but he was subject to the king. And who is the king? Who is the king? We read in the last 2 weeks in chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "And he put all things under his feet," right? The Lord put all things under the feet of our Lord Jesus, "and he gave him to be head over all things to the church." 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "Which he will manifest in his own time. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." People, we only have one king that rules over all kings. So he is properly named prince, being temporarily given power over the earth here, the power of the air, which may refer to the invisible realm above the earth where Satan and his demons move and exist. We also see later on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Right? We cannot see. We know they are there because the word tells us. And then we see the influence, and we cannot see it. It made me think of, some of you may be familiar with AR or VR. AR is an augmented reality or virtual reality technology where you put on glasses and you're able to see things that exist only because of the glasses that you see. They've been digitally created, but they exist in the world that you see. So you can see glasses, and the AR technology will create, visual artists will create imagery that you see. You can see people walking through the room. That's been created or replicated by artists. But I would imagine when we come to glory that we'll be able to see the things that we cannot see with the human eye now, right? Which would be extremely overwhelming, living on this earth, being able to see the things that are happening in the spirit world. But it is there. And the verse continues with the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? Verse 3 goes on to give us a clearer picture. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Right? Before we came to Christ, this is what we were. So those of us that are with, that don't have the Lord, are sons of disobedience. Those that are not in Christ are controlled by the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. And it sounds harsh, but it is true. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." Colossians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8 also says, "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Right? When we've come to the Lord, we were one, before that we were sons of disobedience, and once we come to the Lord, we must take off the things that we used to practice at one time. I remember I used to go to Catholic school in my early years, and I remember there was this period where I was getting in trouble every day because I would curse, and the nun would catch me, and I was in the principal's office like every day that week. And I remember thinking, talking to the Lord, and I was like, maybe this is a sign that you want me to stop cursing. And the Lord used that in my life, because after that, I stopped using those words as a practice in my life, right? And so I'm grateful for those moments in my relationship with the Lord, and where he teaches me things using the nun that had boxing gloves in her office. So it's important that we reflect our Father, and you know, when we come to know the Lord, doesn't mean that we will immediately turn over on these things. The other day, it was yesterday, Noah was practicing. No, he was playing piano in an audience, and it was beautiful. And at one point, he sort of hesitated. He lost track, and he was sort of like stuck there, but he kept going. And so just made me think of our walk as believers, that, yeah, we will have moments where we fall, but what do we do when that happens? What do we do? Do we let it stop us from continuing? And it's important for us to look to the Lord and to continue our walk with him. What God has done in Christ. We see the results of the operation of grace in three parts: past, present, and future. So going on, looking at verses 4-7, beginning with the past portion here. But God, who is rich in mercy meaning is not getting what we do deserve, God's wrath and punishment, right? Because of this, of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And as I said before, grace is getting what we don't deserve, the free and unmerited favor of God. And raised us up together in the plan of God. This occurred when Christ was raised. By virtue of our union with him, by the baptism of the Spirit, we were raised with him. So all in the body are not only regenerated, but also baptized by the Spirit into union with Christ. And so, this is what is meant to be saved. Now let's take a look at the present. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been baptized by the Spirit into Christ's body, into union with him, the head of the body. Romans chapter 6, verse 3-4 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And the future that we should be looking forward to, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God will display to the universe the unfathomable wealth of his gracious kindness to us through Christ when he returns. His divine triumph over sin through grace will be put on exhibition to every created being, fallen and unfallen alike. As I was reading this, I just began to think of like him coming now and what that would mean. Where would we be? What would we be doing? Yes, looking forward to so many things, but it's, at the same time, imagine the glory of God before us. So yes, he will display himself and exhibit himself to the world in his greatness. So continuing here to verses 8-9, we see saved by grace. Let's take a closer look at being saved by grace. So mercy is God's love in action, resulting in grace. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." when we accept Christ, it is a divine method of salvation by grace. Grace, getting what we don't deserve, the free and unmerited favor of God and not of yourselves. When we say, I accepted Christ, we should be very careful with the emphasis we place on I, as if your savviness or ability to make good judgments played a role in your salvation. It is a gift, which is a thing given willingly to someone without payment, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? No matter how many prayers, no matter how many good things we think we do, there is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. Then, this, the second part here, we are saved to serve. To be saved means we are created in Christ for the purpose of entering God's plan for the redeemed life to do good works. This plan has been divinely foredetermined for us and is not a hit or miss proposition, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has a plan for each and every one of us, each and every one of you. And we need to be in obedience to Him to follow those steps. He has thought of you individually. If you've thought of, I don't know if you've ever seen a sculptor working when he's working on a project, on a statue or a piece of furniture. The planning that goes into creating that. The considerations. If you're creating a statue, you begin with the thought, paper, the angles. What does it look like below, above, from the top? There's so many considerations. And in the same way, God has predetermined that and thought of each and every one of you individually and your role in the body of Christ. I'm going to end with this portion here in Acts 26:18. For anyone that may be sitting here today that may be in doubt about their salvation, does not know the Lord, unsure of where you would go today, if it was your last day on earth, God has provided a way out for all of us. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know that verse. So that whoever should accept Him should have eternal life. And it's a choice, a gift, a work already done, and it's just up to us to accept that gift. And if you do know the Lord, what are we doing for Him? How are we serving Him? How are we using what He has given us and the blessings that He has given us to serve others? Are we loving our brothers and sisters? Are we praying for one another? Like we saw in last week's portion of scripture, in the manner in which Paul prayed for his brothers and sisters and encouraged them. So that is my challenge to you. If you don't know the Lord, we are here. If you have any questions, any doubts, the leadership is here. But the Word of God is very clear. So with that, let us close in prayer and continue. Today we're also remembering the Holy Supper, remembering what He did for us on the cross. So let us pray. The Heavenly Father,
we thank You for listening to this message and pray that the Word of God spoke to your heart. To listen to previous sermons, please visit us at www.cbttbc.com or anchor.fm/cbt-sermons.